Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
Our Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Jeremiah chapter 1. Here we come to the reading of where God said, I have set you aside to be my prophet. Where he calls Jeremiah and telling him, you will serve me, for there is a purpose that I have for you. Here's what he says. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a youth, for to all whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading for this day, as we continue through 1 Corinthians, we get to the chapter of love. As many of you will have this, that, and I've heard this many times over in movies, perhaps in your own weddings or other weddings you've attended. This is a popular one for married couples. But yet, listen to what Paul says and hear that it's not exactly about married couples, but about love that all Christians should extend to each other. I will show you still a more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. And as for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter. Now Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue, there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever. And they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him. And he would have kept him from leaving them, but he said to them, "I must preach the good news to the kingdom of God, to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the gospel of our Lord. Well, grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you all for a moment, just close your eyes. Don't fall asleep, please. But close your eyes and just imagine this picture. A young bride and young groom standing here before the altar, looking deeply into each other's eyes, holding hands. They're so eager, young, and ready for the future. Then the pastor reads, "Love is patient, love is kind." It's such a familiar scene, ain't it? Perhaps today's epistle from 1 Corinthians was even read at your own wedding. If so, you may have thought that at the time these words were specifically intended for married couples. You probably hoped that you would always have such a perfect love for one another, a love that St. Paul described. However, if you've been married for some time or know people who've been married for many years, you surely know that such perfect love is incredibly difficult to maintain. Yeah, take it from the single guy. Marriage, however, is not exactly what Paul is talking about in our text this morning. The truth is, this text is really intended for perhaps the most dysfunctional, loveless, crazy congregation in the New Testament. The Corinthian congregation is a congregation that, well, was known for its dysfunction, was known for its hatred amongst its own members, its abuse of God's grace, abuse of the freedom that we have in Christ. They were a congregation that were known for idolatry, abusing marriage, causing division over littlest things, even having lawsuits from one believer to the next. And not to mention all the sexual immorality that was being practiced amongst these Christians. Their division was made most clear at the table, where they could not even have a meal together, where they could not even eat with one another, let alone not even come before the Lord's altar and receive his body and blood. They were truly a congregation that had forgotten what it meant to be loved by Christ and to love others. This congregation, as Paul put it, has become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. But let us be clear. This is not for you or for me. This is not how we should be. For Paul in his text shows us a more excellent way. He shows us that Christ's cross is the source and norm for our Christian love and life. And that's the point he's getting at, as he points us back to Christ and pointing these Corinthians back to Christ again and again. Now, it's true. Paul set a high standard, and I would dare say a standard that none of us can keep. Would anyone here boast that he or she have a perfect love? Would anyone ever say that your anger ever got the best of you? Or that you never held a grudge? Would you ever say that you've never lost your patience? Would you say that you're completely selfless in everything that you do? The answer is no. We are not perfect. We fall into these tendencies to take the standard that we have been given and kind of mess with it a little bit. Step aside it, step around it, make it work out for the best of us, not necessarily living up to what is expected. To say such things that we are perfect at all this, it's just nonsense, it's lies. The truth is that there's only one person who has ever kept such love. It's Christ. And when we compare our love to his, we find that our love does not reach his whatsoever. Our love is tainted with sin. Our love is focused on ourselves. Our love is imperfect. Our love does not meet his standard. For Christ is the standard by which we are to live by. He is the standard by which our love is to example. His standard is how we, our Christians, are to love one another. Because what happened on that cross is where love was incarnate, where love bore all things, endured all things. It was he who died. His insisting not in his own way, but the way of his Father. It was he who refused to resent those who sinned against him, even praying on their behalf, saying, "Father, forgive them." It was Christ who had suffered a long while, despite the disobedient and sinful people, had failed him again and again. It is Christ, now on the cross, choosing to suffer for these very same people, that they might be forgiven of their sins. It is he who, without sin, became sin on our behalf. And indeed, a love that we can never measure up to, that is what we are shown on the cross when Christ went to the cross. We are only ever but a poor reflection of Christ. We are but a poor reflection of his perfect love. But yet, that's all the better for us. Because Christ came to love a loveless people. He did not love us because we were perfect. He did not love us because we are grand and great and measure up. He loves us despite our infirmities. He loves us despite our mistakes, our failures. He loves us despite the fact that we are not perfect. He loves us regardless of the things we have done. For Christ's cross does not only reveal our sinful love, but much more his forgiving, perfect love. A love that is only ever unique unto him. It is one that the world has seen, has heard, and has known, but it is one that the world rejects. And it's hard to see that. How can a world reject such perfect love? A love for creation, a love for the people who live in it, a love for all creatures. After all, did not Christ say, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends"? And is this not what he did? He laid down his life for his friends. He laid it down for you and for me. In so doing, he, the Son of God, incarnate, showed once and for all that God is love. He showed his love by allowing his blood to be poured out as a sacrifice for all mankind. Even those who hated him, even those who nailed him to that cursed tree. He was crucified so that we would be forgiven. And indeed, as Paul puts it in Romans chapter 5, God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ did not love his church because you are spotless and clean and without blemish. He loves you to make you perfect. He loves you despite what you've seen or done. He loves you without any spot or blemish. He loves you to make you holy and blameless. And we must never forget this. We must never forget what he has done for us. For this is the beginning and the end of our love. It's just a shame that these Corinthians did not see it that way. See, these Corinthians were more concerned with external appearances than with their own forgiveness. They're more concerned about the boasting in their own gifts and their pride than they are in receiving the forgiveness and love from Christ. They're boasting in their tongues, others in their knowledge, and yet all of this does not measure up. All this that they were boasting in will pass away. But love will not. The love that God has for you and for me will not pass away. It will not disappear. Because as we hear in the words of Psalm 117, greater is God's steadfast love towards us, and his faithfulness endures forever. That is the promise that we hear. And that is the promise that we receive in Christ through faith. Therefore, you must hold this cross of Christ before your eyes, both to know that you are forgiven and loved, as well as you know how to love. For it is at the cross that we reveal the shape of perfect Christian love. I would have you remember that when Christ said, take up your cross and follow me, he did not mean for you to atone for the sins of others. That duty belongs to Christ alone. What he meant was that for you to bear his love in word and deed, and all that you say and then do, even to the point of death, even to the point of the cross, even as he showed his love for you. Was this not Christ's command, that we love one another even as he has loved us? This is the very same love that Paul describes to these Corinthians. It's the same love that we hear today. It's the same love that we are to show to each other, regardless of who they might be. So in a sense, this text really does speak of love between spouses, because it speaks of the love that all Christians are to have for each other. Not only just for those inside the church, but for those outside as well. It is the long given and shown, the love given and shown to us that we might live it out in our daily vocations. It is a love that forgives, even as it has been forgiven by Christ. It is a love that endures forever. For we will be with him forever, even as he has risen from the grave to eternal life. This love is a love which does not seek itself, but seek the benefit of others. It is a love that without fear, because of those who have this love, know that they already died with Christ in baptism and will be raised with him on the last day, as promised. It is a cruciform shape of love which has been formed by Christ's cross and so forgives others. It is the love of Christ poured into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit who has been given to us through baptism. It is Christ's love, and it is our love. May God grant that we always keep this love, that we never forget it, and that we show it to one another. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.